Thank you so much for standing. You may be seated. In case you didn't know it, Satan and the Christian are at war. Amen? The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 3, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life." And ladies and gentlemen, we are at war with Satan. We're soldiers against the most unholy adversary and his ungodly hordes. Satan works in a multitude of ways, seeking to damage people. I'm reminded of the story we preached on a few Wednesday nights ago about the man that had the demon-possessed son, the son that was possessed of a devil. And he told the story of how oft times the devil threw his son into the fire and into the water and sought to destroy him. It is Satan wants to damage you. Listen, I think, and I know our young people are not in here tonight, but you know, Satan wants every young people to go through their life spiritually damaged. He's out for that. You know what else? Not only does he work in ways to damage us, he really works to destroy us, doesn't he? "The thief cometh not, but for to rob and to kill and to destroy." That's what Satan's job. One of his aims in Revelation, we're introduced to several of his titles, Abaddon and Apollyon. Both in Hebrew and Greek, they mean the same thing, destroyer. That's what Satan does. He destroys. You know what else he does? He seeks ways to devour. I remember when reading the book of Job, and God asked Satan, he said, "What have you been doing there, Satan?" He says, "Oh, I've just been walking to and fro in the earth." I'm thankful for the complete Word of God. Because you know, where Satan just left a little bit out, it's a big part of it. Because 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, tells us to be sober, to be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, not just walking around, not just having a good time, seeking whom he may devour. Satan is out to devour us, to destroy us, to damage us. And you know what his real goal is? His real goal is to damn human beings to a devil's hell. He's going to hell, ladies and gentlemen. Satan will be condemned to the lake of fire forever. And he is so evil, he is so wicked, he is trying to take as many people with them as possible. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12, that they all might be damned because they loved not the truth but received a lie. He uses many things to accomplish these goals. He uses false doctrine. You know how many a so-called preacher stands up on Sunday and preaches heresy and false doctrine? And you know, I like what Paul said, praise God, in Galatians. Paul had told them, and he was dealing with what was dealt with in Acts chapter 15 at the Jerusalem Council. They were adding things to salvation. And Paul said, "Look, let me just lay it on the line for you Galatians, amen." He said, "Though I or an angel from heaven come down and preach to you any other gospel, let him be accursed." And that word literally means let him be damned to hell. Pretty strong language against false doctrine. Can I say this? Pretty strong language against adding works to salvation. Because you know what Galatians is? It's all about grace. It's all about grace. Amen. And so Satan will use false doctrine to accomplish his goals. You know what else Satan will use? Satan will use hypocrisy. Isn't it amazing how you talk to folks and you say, you're out soul winning, maybe you're just out just witnessing for the Lord, Brother Boston, you'll say, "Do you go to church anywhere?" And someone with a kind of a scowl will say, "No, too many hypocrites." How many of you have heard that? Raise your hand if you've heard. Look at that. Look around you. Too many. And by the way, my reply is always, doesn't keep you from the grocery store. Doesn't keep you from the gas station. Hypocrites there too, amen. But the truth is, one Christian who's a hypocrite can do more damage than 100 atheists. Hypocrisy. False doctrine. He'll use what we would call vice. Immorality. Liquor. Drugs. You name it. Pornography. You know what else he'll use? To accomplish his goal to damage and destroy and devour the name. He'll use pride. I've got a sermon I'm working on, folks, and you pray for me about just about when to preach it, but pride is the mother of all sins. Pride. And listen, it wasn't the publican that came in and couldn't even lift up his head to look on the Lord Jesus that Jesus said that guy's wicked. It was the prideful Pharisee. It said, well, I do this and I do that and I tithe and I give and I... Let us be careful about that, church. Amen. And especially us Wednesday nighters. Amen. Those that come 3 and 4 times a week. If we're not careful, we'll look at somebody with a skewed glance and say, I would never do that. Hey, man that standeth, take heed lest he fall. Pride. And while his methods and his ways of accomplishing these things may vary, the process is always the same. Go to James chapter 1. The process is always the same. Satan has no new bait. Amen? It's just all... He uses this process and it has worked for him for over 6,000 years of human history. You find it in James chapter 1. Look at verse number 13, please, of James chapter 1. Let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. James chapter 1, verse 13. It is not God that tempts us to do wrong, but here we see the process. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So here's the process. Temptation, lust, sin, regret, sorrow, loss, etc., etc., etc. The process is always the same. But can I say this in this war, this process that Satan comes? Do you know where every bit of this war starts? Right here. In our minds. In our minds. This is the battleground, if you would. By the way, the thought is the mother of every action. You want a scripture verse on that? Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 and 28. Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount said, it has been said of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. And it has been said. And it'd be all right if it was still said. Amen? That's still wrong, amen. It's not an affair, it's adultery, amen. It's wrong, it's wicked, it wrecks homes. And Jesus said, it's been said of old that thou shalt not commit adultery. But Jesus said this, but I say unto you, whoso looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already in his heart. You know what Jesus says? Destroy the wicked thought and you'll never have the action of adultery. Take care. And so I want to talk to you tonight, if I could, and I guess preach, amen. I've been preaching, but the proper Christian thought life. The proper Christian thought life. Much of our sin and sorrow stems from improper thinking. Improper thought patterns. As my dear friend Dr. Phil Tharp used to say, our problem is stinking thinking. And I want to help you with that tonight. I want to look, number one, go back to Philippians chapter 4. 5 points tonight and lots of sub-points. So if you make an outline, you run your pen out of ink tonight. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. The education. We're talking about the proper Christian thought life. If you're going to have a proper Christian thought life, it's going to take some education. Amen? And it's found here in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8. Finally. That's an important adverb. Amen? Finally. It has the idea of drawing a conclusion. And an important one. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, the way the world is, they've got it all backwards. We need to educate our minds to fight this battle, to fight this war. And I've got three things here, and you may have more. The first thing that'll help us to educate our minds is the Scriptures. The Scriptures. Amen. Go back just a couple pages to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to be looking at this verse on Sunday night, as well as I preach a message this Sunday night on the power of the Word of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful. Amen. Look, if you would, Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 27, please. I'm sorry, verse 26. It says, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the what? By the Word. By the Word, ladies and gentlemen. You read Romans chapter 12, verse number 2, and the Bible says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And then what does it say? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you do that, Pastor? Listen. With God's help, in your prayers, I am going to try to read my Bible through in September. 30 days. 40 chapters a day. You know what's wrong with that? Nothing. Come on. There's nothing wrong with that. Why? This is all good. No matter what. And I'm not saying you read 40 chapters a day. Listen, the reason I'm forcing myself to read 40 chapters a day, Brother Leonard, is because I'm a study hog. I'll start reading, I'll get on one verse, next thing you know, I'm running the cross references, I'm going to the next verse, and I read one verse. But I read 15 of them, amen? Hey, listen, ladies and gentlemen, you want the proper thought life, you know what you need? The proper food. Proper food, amen? It starts first and foremost with the Scriptures, amen, toward this education process. But you know what else? Go to Psalms chapter 73. Psalm 73. I'm going to tell you something else that I think is vitally important. And I know sometimes I think I preach my Wednesday messages. I should preach them on Sunday morning. Amen. And because I know you folks know this. You're here on Wednesday night. You're here when you can be. But the second thing I think is absolutely important in the proper Christian thought life concerning education. The Scriptures, not only the Scriptures, but look at verse number 3. Of Psalm 73. It says, "For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." Right away, right here, he's got a thought problem. He's got a thought problem. He said, "I was envious when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." Listen, you look at folks that are wicked in this world, and it is easy to get upset. You can keep reading on here. Look at verse number 7. "Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish." Down to verse 12. "Behold, these are ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches." But look at verse 17. And here we see the second item for proper education. "Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood therein." And then if you jump down to verse 22, it says, "So foolish was I and ignorant." What happened? He had a thought problem. And what helped him with his education? First of all, the Scriptures. The second place that will help you to have the proper Christian thought life is the sanctuary. The church of the living God. Getting together with God's people at God's ordained times, amen. And here at Loomis Park Baptist Church, it's Sunday morning 9:45, Sunday morning 10:45, Sunday night 6 p.m., Wednesday night 7 p.m. Getting together with God's people in this place will help you have the proper Christian thought life. I think of something else. Not to be minimized, the Scripture in the sanctuary. Go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, most of you will recognize these verses right away. Sometimes I hate putting together points, particularly, Lord, at 4 p.m. on the day before I'm going to preach it, amen? Because sometimes they seem like they're a little bit out of order, and certainly this one is. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4. And it says there, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Proper education is the Scriptures, the sanctuary, and thirdly, and not least importantly, but the Savior. The Savior. Let this mind permit, that's our God. Our God never forces us. He asks. He says, "Permit this mind to be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Let it be in you." And listen, ladies and gentlemen, that when you think of the Lord Jesus Christ, the word that comes to mind for me is love. Love. True love. Not just talking, not just words love. Love that was proved. And you know what the Bible still says? Charity thinketh no evil. That's thought. Amen. But you know what, folks? There's not only the education of the thought life, but there's the effort of having a proper Christian thought life. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. The education, first of all, the Scriptures, the sanctuary, the Savior will help you in that education. But then we see the effort. The effort. And I won't spend too much time here because it's one of those things that explains itself. Amen. And look at verse number 3 of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse number 3 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." A faulty thinking pattern. That's a stronghold. "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." You know what you see there in those verses? If you look at the end of verse number 4, pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, bringing into captivity every... You know what those are, ladies and gentlemen? Those are action verbs. And you know what they mean? It means there's an effort that takes place to have the proper Christian thought life. Isn't it amazing? It's a struggle to have pure thoughts. It's a struggle to have positive thoughts. Listen, I joked about the news, but it's not a joke. I'm serious. I have to make sure I've gotten in my Bible before I ever watch any news. Because it's all... Listen, I think it's an election year. And listen, there hasn't been a positive campaign run since, I don't know, George Washington ran for president. Amen. It's all negative, negative, negative. It's such a struggle to have a pure thought life. It's such a struggle to have a positive thought life. And listen, it's just our nature to look negative. I think it's such a struggle to have a proper thought life. Why? Because Satan is the god of this world, according to 2 Corinthians 4:4. He's the prince and the power of the air, according to Ephesians 2:2. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, as Christians, it takes effort. It takes effort you've got to bring those thoughts into captivity, just like the verse says. I told Brother Horace, it's literally like salmon swimming upstream. That's the way it feels to try to have a pure thought life, to have a positive thought life when everything around you, you come up to somebody and you ask them how you're doing, they say, "Stay positive, stay positive, stay positive, stay positive." Amen. And they go and they tell you about every bunion and boil and everything else that's happened in their life and bursitis and every other thing. And then you go up to the next person and you say, "Praise God, he's on the throne." "Yeah, but..." My dad used to say to me all the time, whenever he'd ask me to do something, I'd say, "Yeah, but..." He'd say, "Yeah, but, yeah, but. Yeah, but, yeah, but." You know what that is? Just another excuse to be negative. Hey, listen, it takes effort, ladies and gentlemen, to bring those thoughts into captivity, to cast down those imaginations and to pull down those strongholds. There's effort in having a proper Christian thought life. There's education in having a proper Christian thought life. Let me give you number 3, the elimination. The elimination. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You know what it says? We read it last Sunday night when we talked about house rules. I will set no wicked thing before mine eye. Psalms 101:3. I will set no wicked thing. So you know what? There's not only effort, there's not only education, but if you're going to have the proper thought life, there's going to have to be some elimination. You're going to have to get rid of some things. The principle is this. The Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For if ye sow to the flesh, ye shall of the flesh reap corruption. But if ye sow to the Spirit, ye shall reap life everlasting. And then he goes on to tell us, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if ye faint not. Here's the principle. What's the principle, Pastor, concerning this idea of the thought life? Garbage in, garbage out. You put junk in your mind, and it is no wonder you have a rotten thought life. Amen. Amen, Pastor. You watch these filthy, ungodly programs, and it is no wonder that you don't have a godly, pure, positive thought life. Come on. You listen to the wrong kind of music that'll take you to places that you never wanted to go. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to have a good thought life. You're not going to have it. So you know what you need to do? Like some of our young people have done to Pastor Donald. Some of our young people have come to Pastor Donald with their, what they call them, iPods. Some of you seniors have no idea what that is. It's something you put all your music on. It's just the size of a phone. And you can put all your music on. You can literally listen to music. I've got I don't know how many hours worth of music, Christian music, old radio programs on my iPod. These young people have given their iPods to Pastor Donald and said, Pastor Donald, clear it out and fill it up with good music. I'm telling you. Why? Because the principle is the same. That, you know what? If you stop putting garbage in and start putting in good things, you know what will happen? You'll start reaping good things. Amen? So the principle is garbage in, garbage out. How about the protection in this idea of elimination? You folks know the phrase. It's becoming passe, but good fences make good neighbors. You know what a fence does? It keeps the bad out and the good safe within the fence. You know what we need in our life? Some fences. Some fences to say, you know what? I'm going to have to eliminate some things out of my life that are hindering me from having the proper thought life. Amen. It's still okay. Amen. It's still okay to run through the DVD collection now and again. Say, you know what? I think that one can go. Amen. The elimination, the effort, the education. I love this fourth point. Back to Philippians chapter 4. What are the effects of a proper Christian thought life? And listen, I don't nearly have time to deal with these. It's 8:25 right now. I'm already getting ready to go overtime, and I don't want to do that. Amen. But I'm going to run through these quick. The effects. You have the education, the effort, the elimination, and then you have the effects. What are the effects of a proper Christian thought life? 9 points here, 9 sub-points, so write fast, amen. Verse 1, it says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eutychus and I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind. Number 1, it brings unity. Proper Christian thought life will bring unity. You know why? Because when you have the proper Christian thought life, it's not about you. It's about Jesus. It's about souls being saved. It's about weaker brethren being edified in all God's people said. So you see there, it brings unity. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. The proper Christian thought life brings rejoicing. It brings rejoicing. Why? Boy, I don't mean to be facetious, but what's something we have to rejoice in? I don't know, the fact that we're never going to hell. Boy, that'd be enough to rejoice about right there. But he sure has given us a lot more to rejoice about. Amen. Been so good to us. As Miss Katie sang, I have been blessed. Amen. It brings rejoicing. You show me the Christian with the proper thought life, and I'll show you a rejoicing Christian. Somebody that's just got the praise of the Lord on their lips. Amen. Something else. Verse 5. It says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. You know what else it does? Thirdly, it brings proper living. You see, when you have the proper Christian thought life, you understand the Lord is coming back soon and we need to be living right. There's people around you that are watching how you live. They notice when your car is gone for church, amen. They notice when you come back. They're looking for you and watching you. And I want to tell you something, the proper Christian thought life will bring proper living. You know what else it'll bring? Oh, praise God for verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Proper Christian thought life brings peace. You look down in verse number 9, not only do you get the peace of God, but at the end of that verse you get the God of peace. That's pretty good, huh? Peace. Peace. Sweet peace. You know what else? According to verses 10 through 12, we don't have time to read them there. But look at verse 11. It says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned that whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. You know, proper Christian thought life brings contentment. Like the kid with my wife, she said, when we left Pontiac, Michigan in 2001 to head back to Massachusetts, many of you remember when we candidated, she said, Lord, send me anywhere except Michigan. And I quote this verse to her, honey, I have learned that whatsoever state I am, even Michigan, therewith to be content. Amen. Hey, you know what? Proper thought life, it brings contentment. You don't need to keep up with the Joneses and have every last thing that everybody... You don't need that. It brings contentment. You know what else it brings? Praise God, according to verse 13, it says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. It brings proper focus. Paul didn't say, I can do all things through my power. Amen, Brother Jim? He said, I can do all things through Christ. That's the proper focus. And it comes from the proper thought life. It also brings selflessness, according to verses 14 through 16. According to verses 17 through 18, and you can read this on your own, it brings rewards. And then according to verse 19, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory. It brings supply when needed. All because of a proper thought life. The effects, the elimination, the effort, the education. Two more scriptures and we'll be done. Fifth point, the examination. Psalms chapter 139. Psalms chapter 139. The examination. This is what us preachers would call the point in the message where you apply the truth for yourself. The application. The education, the effort, the elimination, the effects brings unity, rejoicing, proper living, peace, contentment, focus, selflessness, reward, supply. Here's the examination. Psalms 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Psalms 19 verse 14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So here's my question for examination tonight. How's your thought life? Is it always negative? Is it always down? Listen, it will be if you don't have effort to keep it positive. It will be. Listen, Satan's the prince of the power of the air. How about, are your thoughts always negative? Are they always carnal? Are they prideful? Are you always about yourself? Are they flat out improper? Listen, allow God access to your thought life. Allow God to rearrange your thoughts. And it starts right here, folks. It starts with the Scriptures. It may start with the Scriptures, and it may say, you know what? After 9 o'clock, the TV's going off. Come on, help me, church. Amen. Maybe it's a little too much news and not enough good news. Hey, listen. I want to have the proper Christian thought. I don't know about you, but I'd like to have unity. I'd like to be rejoicing. I'd like to have proper living and have peace and contentment and selflessness and all these things. You know what? It all springs from proper Christian thought life. Father, we love you. Thank you that you gave us that example. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Help us, God. Lord, we're fallible. We're dust. God, we have a tendency to be negative and critical and, Lord, sometimes thoughtless with our words as we talk to people. Oh, God, help us. Help us to have the proper Christian thought life. Help us to go to You in prayer, supplication. Help us to praise You for Your wonderful. Oh God, I pray that You'd help us to go to Your Word and to drink it in. God, and adjust our thought lives. We thank You for saving us. Thank You for striving with us. Thank You for working a work of grace in our hearts. Help us to do business with You, to be obedient concerning this area of our thought life. We'll be careful to give You the praise, honor, and glory, for You alone are worthy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. How about page number 57? Amen. Page number 57 in your hymnals. Let's stand. Amen. Sing that great hymn. Cleanse me, search me, O God, and know my heart today. Amen. Page number 57, everyone standing. If you'd like to come to an old-fashioned altar, there's time for you to come. Maybe you just need to say, God, help me to keep my thoughts on You. Help me to have pure thoughts. Amen. Whatever your need is, you come as we sing tonight. Page number 57. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. Let's just keep our heads bowed and eyes closed. There's time for You to come. You know, I got thinking about in our own lives. I'll tell you where we can see our thought life is, where's your faith? Do you still believe God can do great things? The Bible still says He can. We heard testimonies tonight, says he's still doing great things. How do you feel about that? It's all a byproduct of your thought life. It's a byproduct of your thought. You know, when you read the Exodus and you read what God did, it's incredible. And then you read in Psalms where God says, the very children that He led out of Egypt forgot all about Him. How did they do that? Their thought life. Their thought life. You see, ladies and gentlemen, it takes effort. It's more than education. Yeah, we need the Scriptures. We need the sanctuary. We need the Savior. But boy, it takes effort. You've got to get in that book. You've got to get to the house of God. Listen, you've got to train your mind that when you have wrong thoughts, you confess them right away. You claim them. You claim God's forgiveness. Oh, maybe you've got smaller faith than you used to. God doesn't want that. God wants you to still have a big faith and a big God. But you know what? You got to appropriate. You got to say, God, like that man with a son possessed of devils, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Help me to get in Your Word. Help me to read Your Word like it's the only book that God ever wrote, because it is. Help me to put away the remote and to get on my knees more. Spend time with You. Oh, God would be pleased with that. I know You would.